a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll have roll called by our esteemed secretary.
Senator Kamak?
Here.
Ewing?
Here.
Frerich? Frerich? Hager?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Greenfield? Monroe?
Here.
Do we have any questions or comments on the minutes from last meeting? Chair will now entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
Second.
It was moved by Senator Kamak and seconded by Senator Hagar. Approval of the minutes from last meeting. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Approved. I want to welcome you to the South Dakota Taxation Senate Taxation Committee, where we hopefully make taxing fun. And we have a few introductions to make. I'd like to have the pages introduce themselves, give us your name, and what you plan to do in the future.
I'm Nick Johnson, and I'm looking to go to SDSU for mechanical engineering.
I'm Megan Schenk, and I'm planning to go to Creighton for pre-med.
Thank you. We have our interns over here. Can you introduce yourselves quickly? There are a few new people here.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Clay Hoffman. I'm a senior at the University of South Dakota. I'm from Winter, South Dakota, so not too far from here. And I'm majoring in political science and minoring in business. I'm one of the Senate Democratic interns. I'm pleased to be with you this morning. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jalatama Omar. My friends call me Jolly. I'm a political science major at the University of South Dakota. Along with being an intern, I'm also the assistant debate coach at Yankton High School, and I'm in Senate Judiciary and Taxation, and I'm ready to learn a lot from these senators. So thank you.
I'd like to welcome all the guests in the room, especially the little people. That's my grandkids. No, welcome to the meeting. I'd like to welcome the listeners on the World Wide Web. And we try to start at 10 o'clock so that when the mics are turned on, you don't wait around for the meeting to start. Appreciate if the cell phones and the computers would be turned on silent. I don't care if you're using them, but as long as they're on silent, we're good. And if you're planning to testify, please sign in. It's extremely important that we sign in. Chewing gum, it's okay if you chew gum. Do we have any reports or comments or before we start the meeting that are pertinent to the meeting? Today we have Senate Bills 5, Senate Bills 56, and Senate Bill 44, and they were in order of 5, 56, 44. Because of popular demand, we're going to move number 56 up to the top of the order. And we'll take our first expert. Have a seat. Senate Bill 56.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Taxation Committee. I'm Larry Elias, an Executive Secretary of the South Dakota Commission on Gaming. And this bill seeks to codify the tax calculation formula on revenue from Deadwood casino slot machines. This only applies to slot machines in Deadwood. And it is the result of a Supreme Court case, which I've asked Paige to hand out, which was just decided about a month ago, December 17th. As I said, this deals with the calculation of paying the 9% tax on casino revenue from slot machines. Many of the casinos offer a player's reward, a frequent flyer program, if you will, with free credits that can be used to play slot machines by inserting a player's card, which is sort of a plastic card like a credit card. But these credits cannot be cashed out. The patrons, however, can hit winning combinations by playing those credits and can cash out the winning combinations. In June of 2010, three casinos filed suit against the Department of Revenue claiming that the value of the free credits should not be included in the gaming tax calculation, which we had been including them. The Department of Revenue argued that the credits do have value and won that case in circuit court. The casinos appealed to the state Supreme Court and won. And I would that's the case that that the page has handed out. And I would refer you specifically to the last page of the decision and paragraph 13. The court ruled in paragraph 13 that the value of free play is not included in calculating adjusted gross revenue and is therefore not part of adjusted gross revenue proceeds under Chapter 42.7b. Later in the same paragraph, it said, consequently, there is nothing to include in any awards or payouts as a result of free play, provide nothing to deduct. Gaming tax returns are like most tax returns. You put in a revenue and figure, and you deduct another figure, and then you pay tax on the third line. So we have tried to codify the court's decision in law. The technical problem that exists is that there is not technology available today to track play by play by play of what award, what cashable awards were won on a free play spin. That technology just simply does not exist in Deadwood, and to the best of our research, doesn't exist any place in the country. Historically, the payout on slot machines is about 91% citywide. We took, to the best of our ability, the language of the court's decision in sub 1 on line 8. Free play provided by the operator may not be included in the gross proceeds. And then in sub 2, there is nothing to include. And so for any awards or payouts as a result provide nothing to deduct. So because we cannot track exactly how many awards were won by free play, we've rounded it down to 90% based on a citywide average of 91%. As I said, we're simply attempting to codify what the court said. We lost the case, so we're we're going to follow the Supreme Court's decision, and this is the formula that we have come up with based on historical play. With that, I'd stand by for any questions. There are nine operators that have these reward systems in Deadwood. Those properties cumulatively account for about 88% of the play in Deadwood.
Thanks, Larry. Do we have any questions? I guess that was an easy one. You must have explained it real well.
Thank you.
It took me longer yesterday. Anybody else wish to testify on Senate Bill 56? No opponents? Seeing none, we'll close it to committee discussion and or action. Senator Ewing?
I would make a motion for due pass on this. I think the department's acting in good faith on this, and it's a fair outcome of the what their intent is, so do pass.
Second.
We have a motion by Senator Ewing, second by Senator Frerich. Do pass on Senate Bill 56. Any comments or discussion? Senator Ewing.
I will apologize to you, Mr. Chairman, for talking about the bill when I made the motion.
Okay, thank you. We'll see about that. Hearing none, the secretary will call the roll, and those in favor will say aye, and those opposed, nay.
Senators Kamak?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Frerich?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
It stands 7 ayes, 0 nays.
Mr. Chairman, ask for it to be put on the consent calendar.
We need to announce the results of the vote first.
Sorry.
Senate Bill 56, having received a majority of members elect, do pass.
I would ask that it be placed on the consent calendar.
Motion by Senator Ewing to place Senate Bill 56 on the consent calendar. Second by Senator Greenfield. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Senate Bill 56 will go on the consent calendar. An act to provide direction regarding the calculation of adjusted gross proceeds for the purpose of calculating the gaming tax. The next bill will be Senate Bill 5, revise certain provisions concerning the assessment and taxation of real property. We'll take our first expert, Senator Peterson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Taxation Committee. First of all, I want to comment that it's great to be back on taxation. I've been on taxation now for 13 years, but it's great to be back in the Senate taxation. I really love the Senate. Now, I've been involved with taxation my whole 13 years, and for the last decade, have been involved with the implementation of the ag land productivity method of assessing ag land, and have always served on that Ag Land Oversight Task Force, and this bill is coming from that task force. And this bill is mainly just a cleanup bill is what it's doing. When we implemented this bill, we put in growth limitations of ag assessed value on a countywide basis of 15% from 11 through the years 2015. Well, we found out that ag land is growing at a much faster rate than that 15%, and we actually were following behind. So several years ago, we changed that to 15, 20, and 30%, depending on how far away you were from full and true value, according to the Olympic average and assessed value, what you should be at. So what we're going to do with the first section one is we're going to get rid of, it's a sunset to get rid of the years of because they no longer apply. And what we're doing with Section 2 is we're eliminating non-ag Z. And that has already been done in statute. We just haven't cleaned it up. And for those of you that aren't familiar with non-ag Z, we used to have a law that said that any property that sold for more than 150% of value could not be used to set values for other property and assessments. And ag land that sold for more than 150% value was placed on non-ag Z. And I believe we had an increase of 1 mil and for the first year. And I think it also, and I will be corrected if I'm incorrect, because Michael Kenyon, or pardon me, Michael Howdyshell now is going to follow me. But it was at that sale value for 1 year and 1 mil higher. And then it dropped back to the assessment that was used for other land. So this is getting rid of the non-ag Z language. And the referral is also made on the back page, also in section 2, 10.6.34.14, that refers back to the non-ag Z, the 150%. So it's merely language cleanup in the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Do we have questions for the senator? Do we have anybody else that would like to testify? Welcome to the committee, Mr. Howdyshell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Mike Howdyshell, Department of Revenue, and Senator Peterson. You know, we've had a lot of Michaels in this position here recently, so no offense taken on that. Senator Peterson is correct. This is merely just cleanup. Section 1, the sunset provision needs to go away because the dates that the phase-in, or excuse me, the phased increases were set to expire are tied to a previous iteration of the increase caps. That's been extended in statute now through Pay 19. So Section 1 needs to happen. Section 2, again, just obsolete references to the old non-ag Z system that were overlooked when the productivity system was enacted. So merely cleanup. We do, Department of Revenue does support the bill and would urge your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like he was expecting any. okay. Anybody else need to testify on Senate Bill 56? Seeing none, we will close. Yeah, that one. Sorry. Just got done with 56. Going to be a long day. Okay. We'll close it to committee discussion. Senator Kamak.
I move to pass.
Second.
Motion by Senator Kamak and second by Senator Frerichs. Do pass on Senate Bill 5. The secretary will take the roll. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Kamak?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Frerich?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
The vote stands 7 ayes, 0 nays.
Having received a majority vote of those elect, Senate Bill 5 goes to the floor with a due pass. What's that?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
Before we move on, I would like to move consent on the previous bill.
Second.
This is straight. Motion by Senator Greenfield, second by Senator Frerichs. Place Senate Bill 5 on the consent calendar. discussion? Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Senate Bill 5 goes on the consent calendar. Sometimes things happen when we can't, when people don't know who's working on what, and so on Senate Bill 44, we're going to have Kirk Chaffee. You're from Meade County?
That is correct.
Testify on 44. He won't be here when we were originally planning to delay the bill until next week, and so thank you for showing up, and whatever the reason is for this, I'd like to apologize for that, and if we could have gotten it done better, I sure would have liked to have it done that way.
I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, and
I don't think your mic is on. Full disclosure, I'm going to Honduras for vacation, so so thank you, esteemed members of Senate, Tax, and Senator Kmack.
I'm a recovering commissioner. So
there's no respect. As stated earlier, I do work for Meade County, although I'm representing myself. I've been a little bit about myself. I've been a county assessor for about 28 years. I've been on the Agland Task Force for since 2010, one of the original members, and on the little subcommittee that took the Agland Task Force this bill and tried to fine-tune it after our last final meeting at the Ag Task Force meeting. There are a lot of things I like about the bill. I think I spoke to Dean Wink on the way up here and basically said, you know, it's about 85% done. It's a good bill. There's things about it I like the idea of use being a mandatory instead of the three criteria. The idea of timber being set out differently, I think, kind of needs to be done in some format. But the long story short of it, the definition of ag needed to have some wrenching done on it, and I'm not sure this is quite it. Right now, how it works, it appears that it would work for Meade County. Jay Alderman was also a committee member working on this from Pennington County. Kind of looked like it kind of worked for Pennington County. To be honest with you, it didn't look like it worked for most of the smaller counties East River. So although I'm a supporter of the bill, I caution you on making any adjustments because I think quickly I could be a proponent of it. Thank you.
Can we ask some questions?
Thank you, Kirk. Yeah, just stay right there because we're going to probably have questions for you.
Yeah. Mr. Chair.
Senator Kmack.
Could you summarize the problems that you see? I mean, is there a 1, 2, 3, or and is it amendable to accomplish the needed changes in your opinion?
Yes, I think it's amenable to make some changes. No, I don't have all of them with me today that I can outline them. What I did find out very quickly is that what would work in one county doesn't work in another county. You see the minimum ag requirements, even where we're from in the western South Dakota. Meade County's at 73 acres. Butte County, just on the other side of me, 145. I think Lawrence County's at 40. Pennington County changed daily there for a little bit, so I think they're at 40. So the definition, the ability to have some local control, i.e. give the county commissioners the ability to set the minimum acreage requirements, is paramount in this. More specifically, when we look at Section 2 and we start talking about no, on line 18, no parcels less than 20 acres within a management unit more than 20 air miles away, it starts getting a little convoluted. And the premise is, in Meade County, and I'll speak to that, in some of the larger pasture-type counties, it's not unheard of to get in a pickup and drive 6 miles to the next pasture. The present law reads contiguous. Smaller counties where it seems like it's more row crop intensive, 20 acres may work, better, but the 20 acres in Meade County doesn't. Our fear was that because of our situation next to the Black Hills, we would have, and we've had instances where we've had ag operators in Sully County will buy land in and near Sturgis for the motorcycle rally and try to claim that as ag property, even though it's a cabin site, is what it is. So efforts to try to write a statute that helps Meade County out in regards to the rally and then help, you know, flies in the face of the rest of the state doesn't seem quite right. So to answer your question, I went on way too long, is it needs a little bit more time. I would say that, you know, it started out in the Ag Land Oversight Committee. Quite honestly, we didn't have enough time to work it all the way through to completion. And even though I'm a supporter of it, I would think that it should go back and have a little bit more face time with it, the committee.
Thank you. Stay there. Are there any other questions? Comments? Discussion?
Okay. Hey, thanks.
Thanks for showing up.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate that. See you guys.
We're going to take up Bill, or Senate Bill 44. Let me go. Wednesday. Monday, yes, Monday's on. Oh man, short weekend. We'll take the rest of Bill Senate Bill 44. Go ahead, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this is the proper time. Maybe it's when you take opposition. I don't know, but I would like to read a letter that came to me and was told that to use it in testimony.
Can you go
that,
over here if we're going to testify?
Okay. Well, it's an opponent, though.
Yeah. All right. On that one, that's testimony. And so I think, I don't care if we take more testimony, but I'd rather have it done that way. Senator Ewing?
I guess I'm a little confused. Are we running the bill today and working it?
No.
Okay.
It'll be Monday.
Okay.
And as a new chairman, I get the prerogative to mess up like this, but for some reason we didn't get the people out of town with the proponents and the opponents and whatever's happening here to get together, and next time we will have them coordinated with me. Or just run the bills as they're posted. Go ahead, Senator Peterson, if you'd like to.
I haven't signed in.
We'll get you signed in.
Center or something, not to tell me to email, though.
Well, thank you very much. Just to explain a little bit how it affects an East River county. Joyce Dragseth, Director of Equalization from Brookings County, sent this to me and gave me permission she wanted to put into the record here. Senate Bill 44 has me concerned that we're trying to fix a Hills problem by breaking something that works in eastern South Dakota. I know they have added lines that would allow for parcels less than 20 acres to qualify for ag, but they would have to apply to our offices for approval. Why should 250 property owners in Brookings County have to jump through this hoop again when they have already qualified in the past? Yes, we do have 250 properties less than 20 acres, parcels that are currently ag now, feedlots, small farmers that rent other land, etc., that would need to apply if this bill passes. We currently have one that works quite well for us right now. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any... Senator Kamak?
I believe that
it would...
Do you
have a question for Senator Peterson?
Actually, Mr. Chair, I don't. I have a comment for the chair.
Okay.
I understand that we've got a bit of a situation. I appreciate the courtesy you extended for an out-of-town testifier, but I was wondering if we could ask if Mr. Senator Peterson could provide a printed copy of that for us when we do hear the bill so that it can be taken into consideration further.
Senator Peterson?
I certainly will get that printed out. We're going to delay this till Monday, right?
It'll be Monday.
Yeah.
And everything we've heard now won't be heard again Monday.
Yeah. We'll print this out.
I think
out.
It's helpful to get that out there so people can work on it over the weekend if for some reason they're going to be doing that. Mr. Chair. Senator Frederick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to be sure that those that are listening online or are aware that Senator Sutton is the prime sponsor of this legislation. He is over in State Affairs where they have the Juvenile Justice Bill coming up. So otherwise, he would have been here and been a part of even the relaxed testimony that you've taken. So I just want that the folks that are listening to know that. And we'll start off when the bill is introduced and couple back the testimony. So I'm sure, Mr. Chair, you'll be fair to give both sides the opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other, Senator Greenfield?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a heads up, some of us did receive, I had that email as well, and I was going to share that with the committee, but it may have arrived in one of your email inboxes, so make sure to check them all. I received it yesterday morning about 10 to 9.
Thank you. Are there any other comments, or is there any other discussion before we shut this down? What do we have for Monday?
Just
44. Okay, we're going to take up the rest of 44 Monday, and we don't have a real heavy load coming down the pike right now as far as bills, so you don't need to stay up all weekend, get some sleep since it's a short one. And thank you, people, for your tolerance. We're getting this worked out. So, with that, Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Chairman.
Motion by Senator Ewing, second by Senator Kamak to adjourn. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.